Good evening, and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, an evening with Jesus and the Word. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'd like to take this time to thank you for joining me as we get into the Word of God. If you have called our number, area code 323-693-3054, please press the 1 if you have a question or comment, and you will be placed into the caller queue. Otherwise, if you're joining us in the chat room, you may place your question or comment there. I invite you to sit back, relax, get your Bible, your pen, and your paper, and get ready to feast on the Word of God. God bless you.
Hey, let me hear you say, oh, 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 let me hear you say, and leave it there. It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be
all right. It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be
all right. So everything that you've been worried about, you need them to work it out. He'll work it out, yeah. All of your burdens, bring them all down, yeah. You're gonna get it. You need relief. Sick tired of the pressure.
Yeah.
You got all the stress and you need some peace. Come on and get your breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar. Hand it over. Leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
Amen. If you have a burden, if you have a problem,
The songwriter said, put it on the altar, hallelujah. This reminds me of an old time song. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Do you have anything that you need to carry to God in prayer on tonight? I know I do. I got a phone call, well, a text message today from a very dear friend of mine, and her daughter fell and busted her head a few days ago, and she didn't go to the hospital. She didn't think anything's wrong to her, but as the days went on, she started experiencing some strange things, and now she's in the hospital. She's had her brain operated on twice, and we want to lift her up in the name of Jesus because we know God can do all things, and I'm glad that she texted me today to give me this message because it falls right in line with the topic that we want to talk about tonight. So let us just go to the Lord in prayer right now and just talk to God and ask him to do what only he can do. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we thank you and we give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, Father, that you would go and be with Venetia right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. As she's struggling with her life right now, Lord God, I pray that you will heal her in the name of Jesus. Father, you tried to get her attention on many occasions, but God, I ask that in the situation that she's in now, that you will speak to her, Lord God, even as she's sleeping, Lord God, and even as she's in a comatose state right now, God, that you will speak to her in the name of Jesus. Father, the fluid that's on her brain, I pray, God, that you will relieve her brain of this fluid, Lord God, and the bleeding on the brain, that you will heal that bleeding on her brain in the name of Jesus. Father, I don't believe you're finished with Venetia, but God, I just pray, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, when she comes out of this, that she will trust you with her life, that she will give her life to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Not only her, Lord God, but people that are listening, Lord God, people that are not listening, my sister, Lord God, that you will speak to her where she is right now and heal her and deliver her, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those that are bound by drugs, Lord God, those that are bound by alcohol, those that are bound by pill addiction, Lord God, that are bound by sexual addiction, that are bound by whatever it is they're bound by. If it's not your yoke, Jesus, I pray, oh God, that you release them from the yoke of bondage. In the name of Jesus, oh God, oh God, oh God, I ask you to hear this prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, because people are hurting, they're hurting, oh God, and they need you, Lord God, they need a Savior, Lord God, they need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and Father, I just cry out to you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, not only for my sister and not only for Venetia, Lord God, but I pray, oh God, for souls all around this United States and all around this world, oh God. Those that are dipping and dabbling in other religions and dipping and dabbling and trying to serve other gods. Those that have known you but turned their backs on you, oh God. I call them back to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, oh God, because your word says it's not your will that any perish but that all come to repentance. And I pray that they come to repentance today, God, in the name of Jesus. God, today is July 18th, 2012, God, and you know your perfect timing for each and every person, oh God. So, Father, I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you will call them to you, that they will forsake everything else and come to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the believer, Lord God, who is lukewarm right now, God, that you will cause them to be hot, Lord God, or cold, that you will prefer them to be hot, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, on fire for you. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us all as believers, that we will forsake this world, that we will forsake this world, that we will be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will have your way, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, that you will do what you do, God, in the name of Jesus. God, because nobody can do what you do, God. And I just thank you for it being done in the name of Jesus. God, I bind the spirit of lukewarmness in the church, God, because you said you don't want us to be lukewarm. But God, I just pray that we will catch on fire to your word, that we will catch on fire and begin to love you, that we will catch on fire and begin to obey you, that we will catch on fire and begin to serve you in the name of Jesus, Almighty God. And Father, I just say thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. I say thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, and I bless your name, Lord God. I bless your name, Almighty God, hallelujah, and I thank you, O God. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank you. I thank you, oh God. I thank you and I bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah. Turn this backsliding nation back to you, God. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh Father, we ask you to forgive us as a nation. I ask you, God, to forgive us as a nation who has turned our backs on you, God. We've gone a whoring after other gods. We've gone chasing after the devil and what he seemingly has to offer, oh God. I ask you to forgive us as a nation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, I lift up the body of Christ to you and I ask you to forgive us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, when we've come against one another, I ask you to forgive us in Jesus' name. When we've caused division and strife and bitterness and anger and jealousy, Lord God, I ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus. Father, we're supposed to be one body because there is only one Lord. There's only one faith and there's only one baptism. But God, I ask you to forgive us for our sins, God, in the name of Jesus. And I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about those who have called our name on the name of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I'm talking about those, Lord God, who have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Those have gone down in Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will do this thing, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father, I just thank you and bless your name, Lord God, and I praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I just bless your name. I give you glory. I give you praise. I give you honor, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, I just pray, oh God, that we will not be like Israelites, oh God, and continuously go into sin and continuously rebel against you and continuously to do those things that are unpleasing to you, God. Father, heal us and we be healed. We'll be healed. Wash us and we'll be washed, oh God. Purge us and we'll be purged, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I say thank you for it right now, God. I give you glory and honor and praise for it right now, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Now, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this broadcast on tonight. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to take over this broadcast and do what you do in the name of Jesus. Father, we just rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the enemy and we bind you, Satan, on every hand in the name of Jesus. We bind the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places in the name of Jesus. And we take authority over every unclean spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And Satan, we bind you, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We have the authority of the name of Jesus and we take that authority over you right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, I say thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. I bless your holy name, O God, in the name of Jesus. And I give you praise, O God. I give you glory, O God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I bless your name, O God. And I give you praise, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. For there is no God but you, O God. There is no other God but you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Father, I just thank you and I bless you on tonight. I give you praise, Lord God, as we go forth in this broadcast, Lord God, and say stop playing with the devil because he don't like you. God, let this word fall on good ground, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, remove the stoniness from the hearts tonight, oh God. In the name of Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. Let somebody hear a word from you, oh God, that will save them, that will deliver them, that will set them free tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, God, and give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. I bless you, Lord God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless you, Lord God, hallelujah. Have your way, Holy Spirit, have your way. In the name of Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. I bless you, Lord God. Oh, I praise you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, your people are suffering, Lord God, and are heavy in their spirits, oh God. Oh God, but some are just refusing to turn to you, God. But I ask you tonight, God, to set them free in the name of Jesus, oh God. The spirit of depression, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to lift that spirit off of them in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about your Christians, oh God. I'm talking about the born-again believers, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, according to your will, let it be so, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, oh God, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you right now and give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. God, Jehovah, I thank you tonight. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, thank you for providing a way out, a way of escape, hallelujah, with every temptation that comes our way. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I bless your name, hallelujah, and I thank you. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, I welcome you, hallelujah, I welcome you, I welcome you, I welcome you to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, hallelujah. And I'm trying to get to this, hallelujah, but, oh, God, the spirit of prayer and praise is just here tonight because God's people are just hurting and hurting and hurting and refusing to turn to God, the one that they can help them, the one that can heal them, the one that can deliver them. God, they turn it to drugs, they turn it to alcohol, they turn it to everything but you, God. Oh, God, but I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would deliver and set free, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord, oh, God, send your spirit, God, to heal and set free, deliver. Send your word, Lord God, to wash and cleanse, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray, I pray, I pray. I lift them up to you tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, I was a hurting soul, Lord God. I know what it feels like, Lord God. When you feel like you're out here all alone, I know what it feels like, oh God. And I just see people reaching out, Lord God, to everything else but you. I see it. But God, I ask you to help your people. I'm not talking about the people in the world. I'm talking about those that call on you, Jesus, that say they're born again, that say they love you, Lord God. I cry out for them tonight, Lord God. The ones that are secretly drinking, the ones that are secretly popping pills, the ones that are secretly getting high, Lord God, I pray for them, Lord God. Those that are cutting themselves, those that are depressed, Lord God, and can't come out of it, Lord, I pray for them. And God, just as you spoke to Lazarus and told Lazarus to come forth, Lord God. Lord, I speak to these people in the heart of these people, God. And Lord God, say, come forth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, set them free, God. Like you did me, Lord. You set me free. And I know you're not a respecter of persons. So I ask you to set them free, God. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you now. And give you praise now for it being done in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. Again, I just want to thank you. Welcome you to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, an evening with Jesus in the Word, hallelujah. And we are going to be talking about tonight, stop playing with the devil. He doesn't like you. And when God gave me this to speak about, good evening in Him Ministries and TLO, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Please pray for me, please pray for me, please pray for me. Glory to God. When the Lord gave me this, stop playing with the devil. He doesn't like you. I was like, Lord, you know you're right. The devil doesn't like us on any day of the week. I put on my Facebook page earlier, the enemy, he tries to fascinate you with things and stuff. But in his fascination, the end result is that he wants to assassinate you. The end result is that he wants you dead and separated from the Almighty God. That's the end result. Satan wants to keep us so far away from God that when Jesus comes back, we won't even hear the trumpet when it sounds. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to hear that trumpet when it sounds. He wants us to still be living in sin and doing everything we're doing. Just like in the days of Noah. Just like in the days of Noah. When Noah was building the ark, the people were laughing at him, calling him names, making fun of him. Had no idea what God was going to do. But then when the rain came after he built that ark, it was too late. It was too late. They were doing what they were doing. They were sleeping around, homosexuality, whatever they was. They was doing whatever they was doing, drinking, you know, doing whatever they wanted to do. And then came the flood, and they got caught up in the flood. And only 8 people were saved. That's a sad story that only 8 people were saved. But, you know, today is not too much different than it was back in the day of Noah. People are sinning on all kinds of levels, doing things on all kinds of levels that they want to do, just have no regard for God. And right now I'm talking about people in the church. I tell you, I'm sick of people in the church telling me they love God and acting like the devil on a daily basis. I'm not talking about people that slip and, you know, they did a little this and, you know, they repented and they stopped doing it and then maybe they did something else. But I'm talking about people who say they are born again and say they call on the name of Jesus and continuously, every time you turn around, they're always sinning. It's a lifestyle. Every day I see you with your Bible in your hand, you highlight in your Bible, you talking about Jesus, but yet you cursing, yet you stealing, yet you do. I mean, I see this with my physical eyes and you're doing this, but you're calling on the name of Jesus and saying you're in him. How can we be in him and be living for the devil at the same time? Somebody is lying. Somebody is lying. Can you hear me in the chat room? If you can, please let me know. Somebody is lying. I don't know why it is we think we can do what we want to do and God is pleased with it. I don't understand why it is that we feel like, oh, you know, let's just, we could party. You know, we can drink, we can curse, we can smoke, we can lie, we can do everything we want to do, and God is going to be pleased with it. I don't understand why we feel that way when God says, be holy for I am holy. I don't understand why we as born-again believers, the title that we have given ourselves, the thing that we supposedly walk on, we go to church week after week after week, go to church and still continuously living like the devil, playing patty cake with the devil, playing jump rope with the devil, playing games with the devil. When is it that we're going to understand in the body of Christ that Satan does not like us? The end result is that he wants us to go to the lake of fire with him and his angels that rebelled against God and got kicked out of heaven. That's what Satan wants. He does not want you to live eternally with Jesus Christ and God the Father. He does not want that. He wants everybody that he can get to go to hell in the lake of fire. That's what he wants. That's his sole intention, for everybody to go to hell in the lake of fire with him. That's his sole intention. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but I'm telling you tonight because I want the listeners to be set free. I want the listeners to be delivered. I want the listeners to know the Bible tells us, I would not have you ignorant. We're not supposed to be ignorant to Satan's devices. In him, can you hear me on the in the chat room? Because I don't know if you can hear me or not. I did a broadcast not too long ago, and the broadcast was completely, my phone was on mute and nobody heard it. It was, I was really upset about that, and I don't want to do that on tonight. If you can't hear, let me know if you can hear. Okay, thank you so much. But I don't know, there's just this spirit that's going on in the church right now where people are just turning away from God and acting like it's okay. If you have your Bibles, this is for those that are in the chat room, on the phone line, and in the archives. If you get your Bible, I want you to hear something, okay? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. I heard that one day and started crying. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. No sacrifice for sin is left. Did you hear that? If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. The word of God is the truth. When we read the word of God, when we study the word of God, we are receiving the knowledge of the truth. But when we keep on sinning deliberately after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there is no more sacrifice for sin. No more sacrifice for sin. Praise God. In him, it's on your Facebook page. Praise God for that. I mean, we need to meditate on it. We need to think about Hebrews 10:26. I mean, think about it. We deliberately keep on sinning. You done went to church for 50 years. You know the preacher done preached, hopefully, the preacher done preached against sin. But you know, as a born-again believer, you're not supposed to deliberately keep on sinning, and you keep doing it anyway. I promise you, I'm not lying to you. I know people who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and call themselves Christians and living in adultery, living in stealing every day, deliberate. And then tell me that it's okay with God because he understands. Oh, my God. Numbers chapter 15, verse 30. This is the Old Testament. It says, but anyone who sins defiantly, whether native born or alien, blasphemes the Lord, and that person must be cut off from his people. What? But anyone who sins defiantly, the first scripture we read said deliberately. This scripture says anyone who sins defiantly, whether native born or alien, blasphemes the Lord, and that person must be cut off from his people. You're supposed to get put out. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you're sinning and the pastor's not saying anything about your sin and the pastor's allowing you to continue in your sin, that means, oh, the people are going to be looking at you and they're going to be saying, oh, well, he or she is sinning. The pastor's not doing anything, so I can do what I want to do. And then next thing you know, you got a whole church full of people who call themselves born-again believers but are deliberately and defiantly sinning. And defiantly sinning. And now you got a whole big mess. Wonder why there's no power in the church. Wonder how come people are not getting healed and set free and delivered. Why? Because people are defiant and people are deliberate in what they're doing. You cannot tell me that if you are stealing every day that you don't know that you're stealing. You can't tell me that if you're lying every day, backbiting every day, that you're doing this every day or every other day. You cannot tell me that you're not doing this stuff deliberately or defiantly and you call yourself a Christian. Please, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming of the age, and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. He said, the writer of Hebrews said, it is impossible those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God afresh. You're crucifying him all over again and subjecting him to public shame, public disgrace. Because now people are saying, oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be born again. You're supposed to be this. You're supposed to be that. But you're doing this and you're doing... Let me tell you something. The sinner will call you on your game with a quickness. The sinner will call you on your game with a quickness. And they will say, oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. Why are you acting like that? They will call you on your game with a quickness. Trust me and believe me, I've seen it done many times. Stop playing with the devil. He doesn't like you. Stop playing with the devil. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk as other people walk. Romans 12:2 says, come out, it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hold on one moment, please. I'm on the radio doing my broadcast. I'll call me back in about an hour or two. Thank you. I'm sorry. This phone is going to keep ringing if I did not do that. We do what we want to do according to our flesh. We don't want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We don't want to stop doing what we do because our flesh likes doing what our flesh likes to do. I mean, let's be honest. When we were doing things that we wanted to do, we liked it because we liked it. It was what it was, okay? And now when you have said with your mouth, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, if you made a conscious decision that you want to now live for Jesus Christ, don't you know the enemy's going to come and start messing with you? He had no problem with you too much while you was in the world because, you know, you belong to him anyway. But when you make a conscious decision to give your life to the Lord, then you have to make a conscious decision to change some things in your life. And when you make the conscious decision to give your life to the Lord and then change some things in your life, Satan is going to come and try to bring you all types of temptations to try to make you not live a holy and righteous life. But your job is to get the word of God, read the word of God, obey the word of God, and do whatever the word of God tells you to do and not play patty cake with the devil. Your job is not to say, okay, God, you know, this is a little bit too much for me. I know you understand if I fornicate a little bit because, you know, you made sex and, you know, sex is good. I don't see what's wrong with it. So, you know, I'm going to hit that a little bit here and a little bit there. It's going to be okay, right? This between me and you, God, right? No. God not going to co-sign on our sin. God is not going to co-sign on things that we do deliberately. God is not going to co-sign on things that we do because we want to do it. God's not going to change his word to fit what we want to do, no matter who brings it to you, whether the devil himself comes in and entice you, or you sit yourself and, you know, you watch these things that cause you to be enticed, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You sitting there watching things. You know you got a problem in this area, but you watch it. You know you got a problem in this area, but you watch it anyway. You listen to it anyway. You hang around it anyway. You go to these places anyway. If you have a problem with alcohol, there's no way you should be in a bar. If you have a problem with alcohol, there's no way you should be in a state store. If you have a problem with alcohol, there's no way you should be hanging around people that drink. Separate yourselves. Come out from among them and be separate. You can't play patty cake with the devil and think he's just going to let you play patty cake and that's the end of the story. The devil wants to wring your neck. He wants to assassinate you. He wants to thrill you so he can kill you. The Bible tells us in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for two. He got a plan. The thief comes not just because he want to come. He come with a plan in hand. He comes to steal. He wants to steal your salvation from you. He wants to take your righteousness. He wants to take your eternal life from you because he knows he can never get it again. He had a place in heaven. Lucifer had a place in heaven, but he lost it. And now he wants you to lose your place too. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. Anything that God has given you, he wants to kill your vision. He wants to kill the baby that God has given you in the spirit. He wants to kill your godly relationship with God the Father in heaven. He don't like you. And he comes to destroy. He wants to destroy everything that God has set aside for you. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your finances. He wants to destroy everything. Everything. That's why you can't play patty cake with the devil. You can't play with the devil. Get out the playground with the devil. Leave him alone. He don't like you. Anything the devil has to offer, and believe me what I tell you, anything the devil has to offer you, anything, the end of it is death. The end of anything Satan has to offer you is death. Death. I'm looking in the chat room right now. Hello, Dinky Little Thing, guest 4680, Joseph Jow Jones. Good evening and God bless you. In Him Ministries, God bless you. One thing I see that Dinky Little Jones said is the devil wants to bring confusion, misery, and death. Let me tell you guys something. I can't type and talk. So, in him, Pastor Felicia, I believe that's you. In him Ministries, just do me a favor and work the chat room for me, please, because I can't do it. So, Minister Felicia, handle that for me, please. I'm going to keep trying to look in the chat room and try to say some things, but I can't do both. This is why I need a co-host, okay? I need a co-host, glory to God. But I see Dinky Little Thing says that, I'm trying to go back to it, but it keeps scrolling down. Dinky Little Thing, the devil wants to bring confusion, misery, and death. And this is true. The enemy wants to bring confusion. That's his job. He wants to bring confusion because he doesn't want any of us to walk in the light. He doesn't want any of us to walk into the light. And guess what? We have to walk into the light. Okay? We have Jow Jones has raised their hand to be on the air. I pray that everyone that comes on the air, that you come on the air and that is godly and not foolishness. And I don't mean any disrespect. I'm just saying... Okay. All right. We're not going to be distracted. We're not going to be distracted on tonight. The devil is a liar. And Joseph Jow Jones, I'm going to pray for your salvation. Because I believe that you need to be saved, and I believe the enemy is using you as a pawn in his scheme to distract. And I rebuke Satan right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. And Joseph, I pray for you that you will come into the knowledge of God and that you will stop playing around with God because you are going to have to answer to him one day. But I do pray for your salvation, Joseph, because you do have a soul. And I pray for your salvation that God will save you. However he has to do it, that he will save you in Jesus' name. Amen. And, you know, it's a shame that people like him go around to chat rooms and do this. They go to chat rooms and they do this specifically to cause confusion. But when they come to the chat room like this, I like to take the opportunity to pray for them, because that's a soul that's in darkness that needs to be brought to the light. And we don't want to talk badly about that person, because they need to be saved. They need to be delivered. They need to be set free. And so they were. That was an assignment. The enemy sent an assignment and meant it for evil, but I believe that soul is going to be saved in the name of Jesus. So whenever you guys get a chance, you know, call out Joseph's name, if that's his real name. God knows who we're talking about. So just call out his name and just pray for him that he will be saved. But see, we want to go on with the lesson, and we can't play with the devil. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, because he wants us to end up in the lake of fire. If you read the book of Revelation, you will see who's going to wind up in the lake of fire. Okay, end up in the lake of fire. And we don't want to end up in the lake of fire. I know I don't. I don't want to wind up in the lake of fire, okay? Don't want to wind up in the lake of fire. And one way to avoid being in the lake of fire is obeying the word of God. Obeying the word of God. Obeying the word of God. We have so many scriptures that we can read and go over. So many scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, going down to verse 27. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. And sometimes as Christians, we just give place to the devil. We just give place to the devil. I want to read you something. On Monday when we were on the broadcast, we were giving out definitions to some specific words found in Galatians 5, chapter 19 and 21. And studying the word of God some more, and I have these words and definitions for these words as well. But if you look in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, you see these words again: fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. Don't you know that Paul was talking to believers? He was talking to new converts. He was talking to believers. He was talking to believers in Galatians, in the book of Galatians. He was talking to new converts and telling them to put these things away. Don't walk in the flesh, because if you walk in the flesh, you can't please God. They that are in the flesh cannot. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God playing with the devil. If you're laying up with somebody that's not yours, do you think God is pleased with that when he said to flee fornication? Do you think God is pleased when he said do not commit adultery? Do you think God is pleased with that if you're doing it? Do you think God was playing when he said be holy because I am holy? Do you think God and his righteousness and his holiness, do you think God winks at sin and say it's okay for you to do what you want to do? It's okay for you to play with my enemy, the devil, your enemy, the devil. Do you think it's okay for you to keep on tip-tapping and slow dancing with the devil, but then God is supposed to be okay with it? Is it okay? I prayed and I asked God, because I'm grieving in my spirit, and I asked God, I said, God, I need to ask you a question. What do you really require from Christians? Because there's so many people who are saying that they are Christians and are doing everything the world is doing. Going to the club, dropping it like it's hot, doing everything that the world does. We look like the world. We act like the world. We talk like the world. We live like the world. We desire things like the world. What is setting us apart from the world? And I said, God, I need to know what you desire, what you require from true believers. And he set me through all of these scriptures and said, I need my people to be holy. Holiness. Holiness. There is no in between. You can't be holy on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday and live like the devil on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday night when you get out of church. We cannot do it. It's a lie from the devil. God wants us to be holy because he is holy. He wants us to live righteously because he is righteous. He sent Jesus to die for us so that we can have new life. We're hypocrites. We're walking around being hypocrites. We act like we're righteous because we know what to say. We know the religious thing to say. We know how to go to church and hick a Messiah and help me tie my bow tie. And if we say that long enough and good enough, people think that we really filled with the Spirit. We know how to do that well. And then as soon as we leave out of the church, we're doing everything that is contrary to the word of God. You tell me then, what spirit was that that was in church that was showing off? You tell me then what that spirit was doing things so that they can get attention. Oh, wow, she got happy today. He got happy today. Did you see how they danced in the church? Oh, her weed fell out. Did you see her hat fall off? Did you see how she was? Oh, yeah, she was shouting. Child, did you see that? Yeah, girl. Don't know a bit more what the word of God was preached about that day than my cat knows. But in Luke chapter 21, Jesus diagnosed those people, those Pharisees. He diagnosed them as being hypocrites. Appearing righteous to man, but being full of hypocrisy and iniquity on the inside. Matthew 23:28. The original Greek word for hypocrite is pretender. Pretender. We know how to pray. Oh, yeah, we can pray real loud for everybody to hear us. Oh, yeah, we know how to do that well. We know how to pray real loud. We want the people to hear us all across the church, all across the nation. Yeah, we want everybody to hear us, but not living anything. The Bible tells us if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord won't hear us. The Lord won't hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. Why do we think we can play with God? We don't read the Old Testament enough, I don't think. Look at the Old Testament and see what God did to his people. Why do you think they traveled around in the wilderness for 40 years? Because they didn't want to listen to God. Do what God tells you to do and stop worrying about man. Do what God tells you to, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to answer to God. Do what God tells you to do and not the devil, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to answer to God. And whatever you do in your body, whether it be good or whether it be bad, you're going to have to answer for it. If you want to keep playing patty cake with the devil, you're going to have to answer for that. It's up to you. It's up to you. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Jesus gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil age. He gave himself so that we don't have to play patty cake with the devil. He gave himself so that we no longer have to give ourselves over to the devil. We don't have to be slaves to sin, but now we can be slaves of righteousness. He gave us Jesus Christ so we can live righteously and soberly in this world. That's what he did. But we want to just keep doing what pleases our flesh. We just want to, oh, yeah, my flesh, God understands. Romans 8:13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. All that stuff I read is the deeds of your body: fornication, adultery, idolatry, homosexuality, sodomy, stealing, covetous, drunkenness, without extortion. I mean, come on. When we crucify the flesh, it's not something that you do when you go up to the altar and say, I want to crucify my flesh or I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Crucifying your flesh is something that you have to do every single day, hour upon hour, sometimes minute upon minute. It's not something that just ends because you say you give your life to Jesus Christ. Crucifying the flesh is a lifelong process, something you will not stop doing until you close your eyes and die. Crucifying the flesh is a lifelong process. Write that down. You can say, I crucify my flesh one time. You think that's going to help you crucify your flesh tomorrow? Paul said, I keep my body under. I keep my body under, is what Paul said. Can somebody find that for me? I keep my body under. I keep my body under. That's what Paul said. He said, I keep my body under. I keep my body under. I don't know what just happened in the chat room, but I wasn't even looking. But I don't know what's going on, but I'm glad Dinky left too. But that's okay, because Jesus is Lord. But Paul said, I die daily. He said, I keep my body under. Don't you know, thank you, Minister Felicia. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. And I know I have this in my notes somewhere. It's just, I don't know. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. I'm going to go and read that right now. Because we need to understand that, you know, Paul, he wrote over half of the New Testament. Right? And Paul had to say, I keep my body under. Paul had to say that. I keep my body under because my flesh is jacked up. My flesh want to do what my flesh want to do. My flesh want to play patty cake with the devil. And I read this. I read this today. I'm going to read 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Did you hear? He said, such were some of you. But ye are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be bought under the power of any. So you taking prescription drugs because your doctor gave it to you. The law of the state says that you can drink. It's legal for you to drink, but you can't drink and drive. But it's legal for you to drink, okay? If you go over a certain limit, you're legally intoxicated, but it's legal for you to drink, okay? It's legal for you to do a certain amount of weed without going to jail for it, okay? A half an ounce or whatever the case is, without you going to jail for it, okay? It's legal for you to have sex if you're a consenting adult. This is what the law of the land is telling us. It's legal for you to have sex as long as you're a consenting adult. All right? But the Bible says, not so. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me. The law of the land says it's okay if we do these things. If the doctor writes you prescription drugs, you can take them because he legally wrote you a prescription. But if those drugs are taking you out of your natural mind and you can't think and you can't do what you're supposed to do and it's causing you to act all kind of ways and that liquor is causing you to act all kind of ways and you're sexing it up, whatever you want to sex it up with, and you're watching pornography because the law says you can watch pornography. Certain kinds of things of pornography you can't watch, like child pornography. But it's okay. The law says you can watch pornography, but God says no. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not bought under the power of any. I won't be bought under the power of this stuff. He said, meats for the belly and belly for meats, for God, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and would also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? That's deep. Who is joined to a harlot is one body. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now he says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Are you serious? This is, how can we say that it's okay with God if we fornicate and commit adultery and lie and steal and backbite and do all of these things and be drunk and do, how do we say that it's okay to do these things? How do we say that? And think it's okay, and we're going to get away with it. And the word of God clearly tells us not to do these things. I don't understand. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, thank you, Pastor Felicia, I keep my body under and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I keep my body under. We got to crucify this flesh every day. We got to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh every single day. Every day, whether it's lying, whether it's looking at something we're not supposed to look at, whether we're listening to something we're not supposed to listen to, whether it's hanging with people we know we shouldn't be hanging with because we know they don't have anything to do with God. The Bible tells us, bad company corrupts good behavior. Bad company corrupts good behavior. If you want to keep hanging around bad people, you're going to look up and you're going to be doing bad things too. We're not supposed to hate people. We're supposed to love people, but we're supposed to be separate from the world. Birds of a feather flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. Personally, I don't drink anymore, so I really don't want to be hanging around people that drink. I don't care who it is, friend, family, I don't want to be hanging around you because I don't drink anymore. I went back into drinking in one part of my life, and I didn't even like it. I did it because of the people I was hanging around. And then God gave me the revelation, you are born again. You do not live like this. Stop it. I stopped it. I didn't want to be doing it anyway. I stopped it. I had to mortify my desires. I had to mortify what Teresa wanted to do and do what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do from God the Father. I had to stop doing what Teresa wanted to do because my will is not what God wanted to do. I'm talking about the flesh nature. The flesh nature does not. The flesh is an enemy against God. The flesh is a total enemy against God. The flesh is a total enemy against God. You cannot please God walking in the flesh. We cannot please God walking in the flesh. It is impossible. You cannot please God walking in the flesh. The only person that's happy when you're walking in the flesh is the devil. He's the only one happy because now he's thinking, oh, I got you. You're not going to heaven because you're walking in your flesh. And the word of God says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So he will bring every type of temptation to you possible. He will give you every kind of temptation possible. But the Bible tells us you don't have to yield to temptation. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I believe that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God's not going to tempt you to sin. God's not going to bring a fine-looking man into your presence, ladies, you single ladies. He's not going to bring a fine man into your presence all hunky, walking around with his shirt off, looking all good to you for you to lust after him. And he know you got a problem with lust. That's not God. So don't be sitting there rubbing your hands together saying, oh, that is of God. He sent that man for me. No, the enemy sent it for you because he wants you to fall. He wants you to get into sin. He wants you to lust. And when lust has conceived, it will bring forth sin. And then when sin has gone forth, it's going to bring forth death. That's what Satan wants for you. Why are you playing with the devil? The devil does not like you. He don't like you. The devil does not like you. And if you think the devil likes you, can I put you on notice tonight that he don't like you? Satan doesn't like you. The devil doesn't like you. The thief doesn't like you. Okay? Beelzebub does not like you. The dragon does not like you. The liar does not like you. He doesn't like you. He wants you to go to hell. He wants you to go to the lake of fire. He does not want you to go to heaven and have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. And please can I say this, that whoever's telling you that you can live life any kind of way you want to and still go to heaven is lying. The gospel of inclusion is a lie. God wants us to love everybody. Yes, he does. But God does not want us to tolerate people's sin and want us to just love them. Oh, I'm going to love you, so just come to church and do whatever you want to do. You could be an open homosexual. You could be a closet homosexual. You can be a thief, a liar, a murderer. You could be whatever. And it's okay with God because in the end, everybody's going to heaven. The devil's a liar, and I rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus. Listen. We're not anybody's judge or jury. Can I please say that? But if you read the book of Ezekiel, and I know when God let me know that I am truly an evangelist, he gave me Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 18, and he said, tell them. If I tell you to tell the people their sin, you better tell them. Because if you don't tell them and they die in their sin, their blood is going to be on your hands. I said, oh, no, 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 no. I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. And he confirmed it with Ezekiel chapter 18. And then he confirmed it with a prophet that didn't know me from a can of paint, never seen this person in my life. They said the scripture to me and said it just like God said it to me and told me to hold my hands out and said, look at your hands. If you don't tell them, you're going to see the blood dripping off of your hands. And I began to scream. I began to scream because I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. And what I'm doing right now is I'm speaking to the body of Christ because the body of Christ is playing games with Satan. The body of Christ is trying to step on the grounds of Satan and then trying to step back in the grounds with God. You can't do it. We got to have it one way or the other. We can't walk in the flesh and expect to live righteously, too. We can't do it. We got to serve one master. We can't serve God and the devil. We cannot serve God and the devil. Choose this day who you going to serve. Choose this day who you want to serve. Do you want to serve God or you want to serve the devil? Just tell the truth. God already knows anyway. He already sees what we're doing. He knows our hearts. Our hearts are sick and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our hearts are sick and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We cannot say that we are born-again believers and continuously live like the devil. Habitually live like the devil. It's a lie. Romans 7:21-23 says, I find then a law within me that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He said, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. In me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And please can I say that the rest of the scripture, people will use this scripture and say, well, Paul said, when I try to do good, evil is present. And the good that I would, I don't do. But the bad that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Stop it. You're not going to get away with that. Let me read Romans 7:14-25. And then chapter 8:1-8. The law is good then. The trouble is not with the law, but with me, because I am sold into slavery with sin as my master. I don't understand myself at all. Okay, I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. But I can't help myself because it is sin inside that makes me do these evil things. I know I am rotten through and through so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. But if I am doing what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. The sin within me is doing it. It seems to be a fact of life when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law. He said, I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. Do you hear that? At war with my mind. The law wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable man that I am. He said, oh, what a wretched man that I am in the King James Version. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Then he says, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. He goes in Romans 8, he says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, for the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Jesus Christ from the power of sin that leads to death. I'm going to read that again. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature, but God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours is sinful. God destroyed sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the requirements of the law would be fully accomplished for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Can never please God. See, I didn't make that up. That's in Romans 8. Read it. Read it. It's in Romans 8. I didn't write that. Paul wrote that. Now, if you're having a problem with sin, if you have a problem with living in your flesh, if you have a problem with obedience to God, I have an answer for you tonight. It's called repentance. It's called obedience. It's called giving up your will for the will of God. But let's talk about repentance for a minute. Can I please say this? Saying sorry and repentance is not the same thing. I say this a lot because God had to give me the revelation because I was always saying I'm sorry for something, turned right back around and did it again. Always saying, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and turn right around and do the same thing again. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. Repentance is a change of thought. You change your mind about the thing that you're doing. Oh, I'm looking at it now the way God looks at it, and God hates sin. So now I hate sin. I hate what I'm doing. I hate that I'm a liar. I hate that I'm a backbiter. I hate that I'm a thief. I hate that I'm rebellious. I hate that I'm a drunkard. I hate that I'm a reviler. I hate that I'm a person that causes discord. I hate that I'm contentious and full of strife and pride. I hate all of this stuff because God hates it. So now I'm looking at sin, and I'm changing my mind about sin. And as I begin to change my mind about sin, I don't want to do that thing anymore because it displeases God. And I don't want to displease God because I love God. God, I love you so much that I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to crucify Christ afresh. I don't want to crucify Jesus to the cross afresh by what I'm doing. So I'm changing my mind about this sin. I'm changing my mind about adultery and fornication. Why, God? Because it's in your word, thou shalt not commit adultery. Flee fornication. Any sin that I commit, that I do, like fornication and adultery, that's against my body. And this is, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So I don't want to sin against you, God. So I repent. I'm turning away from that thing. I'm changing my mind about the way I think about sin now. And now I'm not going to do it because I know it displeases you, God. And God, I love you. Do you hear that? God, I love you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to continue to do things that hurt you because I love you. So I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to stop. I'm going to do like Pastor Felicia said. I'm going to turn away from the sin. I'm going to turn away from that thing, and I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to get in my word. I'm going to read my word. I'm going to read every scripture I can find about fornication. I'm going to read every scripture I can find about adultery. I'm going to read every scripture I can find about sin. I'm going to read every scripture I can find about the flesh and the spirit, the flesh and the spirit. And I'm going to renew my mind. Only when I begin to renew my mind with the word of God is my mind going to be able to change about those things that I'm doing. We got to renew our minds with the word of God. If you don't put nothing in, you're not going to get anything out. That's like if I open up a bank account and I put nothing in it. My account is zero. I didn't put anything in it month after month after month after month. I haven't put anything in my bank account. But then I want to go make a withdrawal. And the teller is looking at me like, Miss Scott, you don't have any money in your account. You can't make a withdrawal. I mean, what do you mean I don't have any money in my account? And she'll say, well, I'm looking at your transaction here, and for months you haven't put anything in your account, so you have zero balance. And then I'm looking dumb because I go to the bank to make a withdrawal and there's nothing there. And that's what we do. We put nothing in, but we expect something to totally come out of it. We give God nothing, but we want him to give us everything. We make no spiritual deposits at all, but every time we get in a situation, we want God to bring us out of it. Are you kidding me? Pastor Felicia says, fast and pray. Fasting is prayer and studying God's word, or else it's only a diet. It sure is. My husband says that all the time. Consecrating. Fasting kills the flesh, and it does. And your flesh begins to lose its desire for that which is ungodly. But you got to do something to kill this flesh. You got to do something. And it says, mortify the deeds of your flesh with the Spirit. By the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. You can't mortify the deeds of your flesh if you're continuously doing the deeds of the flesh. And stop saying God understands, because God understands that you think he's stupid, but he knows that he's not. He understands that when we play these mind games, we think we're playing mind games with God, but we're only fooling ourselves. And the enemy will come to try to tell us that, you know, it's okay, because God understands. God does understand. He does understand that the heart is sick and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God understands that. But God also knows that he gave his spirit. Jesus sent his spirit back. He sent the Holy Spirit back for us. For the spirit likewise helpeth our infirmities. The spirit likewise also helpeth our infirmities. It helps us when we're weak. It helps us when we feel like I'm getting ready to go fornicate. Holy Ghost, I need you to help me right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, I got this desire to go out here and lie about somebody or backbite about somebody or do something evil to somebody. I need you, Holy Ghost, help me. Don't you know when you call out to the Holy Ghost, he's going to help you? Because that's what he's sitting here for. He's our paraclete. He's our helper. But we don't want to call on the Holy Ghost. We don't want to call on the Holy Ghost. We want to think we can do it ourselves. And then when we look up, we're in a mess. Now we want God to help us. Good evening, Bishop Scott, my husband. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. And it's like, come on. God is saying, wake up out of sleep, because when a trumpet sounds, you want to be able to hear that trumpet sound and go back with Jesus. Either you want to be the dead in Christ that rise first, or you want to be caught up to meet them in the air. You don't want the trumpet to sound and you just looking around talking about what's that noise. And then when the saints of God are in the air and you trying to jump up, and trying to catch them, but you're not going nowhere. Every time you jump up, you fall back down to the ground. And then you want to say, oh, God, you're not fair. God, you're not a loving God. God, you're mean. God has given you from the time that you were able to understand the word of God to either your death or until he comes back to get it together. He's offered Jesus. Jesus is being preached throughout the land. He's being preached throughout the world because there's internet, there's television, there's TBN, there's the church channel, there's Black Planet, whatever you want to call it. It's all types of ways to get to know who Jesus is, so there really is no excuse. Plus, you got the Bible and all kind of translations. You got people on the internet radio. You got people on blog TV. You got people everywhere teaching and preaching the word of God. And plus, you got the Holy Spirit that's in this world today to help us. And we will not call on the Holy Spirit to help us because man loves darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why we won't submit to God. That's why we keep playing patty cake with the devil. That's why Satan has so much control in the body of Christ, because even in the body of Christ there's isms and schisms and divisions. We won't love one another. We won't help one another. We won't support one another. It got to be a big eye over here, a big eye over there. I got to be the chief bishop. I got to be the chiefest apostle. I got to be this and I got to be that. I got to be in charge. You can't do it unless you do it my way. You can't say it unless you say it my way. No, we believe you can't be baptized in the name of Jesus. You only got to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Or you believe the opposite way. Or you say this and you say that. You believe in baptism with the host. You believe in baptism by immersion. You believe in Jesus only. You believe in no Jesus. You believe in Holy Ghost, no Holy Ghost. I mean, come on, people. There's no unity, and Satan is walking around in the body of Christ causing division, causing problems in the body of Christ. And instead of us coming together in unity, we're playing patty cake with the devil. Oh, yeah, you know that church ain't right over there. You know that ain't over there. You know what? That ain't, you know what? Come on, don't go over there. Don't talk to her because you know she used to be this. Don't listen to Evangelist Teresa because she used to be that. Don't listen to Evangelist Felicia because she used to be that. Don't listen to Bishop Gerald Scott because you know he got cerebral palsy. Don't listen to this person. Don't listen to that person. Come on. And we've just given in to the wiles of the devil instead of fasting and praying. Like Pastor Felicia said, instead of fasting and praying, a lot of times people are just dieting, but instead of fasting and praying for real consecration, separating ourselves from the world and the things of this world, what are we doing? We're playing patty cake with the devil. We're saying, come on, devil, I like what you're doing. Keep causing confusion. Don't you know that more is that you give into confusion and keep allowing the devil to use you to cause confusion, there's not going to be unity? You think God is coming back for that? The Baptist can't can't get along with the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals can't get along with the Apostolics. The Apostolics can't get along with the UPCs. The Catholic can't get along with none of them. You got the Muslim. You got the Buddhist. You got the Antichrist. You got the Jehovah's Witness. You got all these people out here trying to put out there what's out there, and we got the Holy Spirit and can't even come together in unity, and you wonder why people don't want to be saved. I don't like her. Why you don't like her? I don't know. It's just something about her. What kind of foolishness is that? The devil got you hating somebody or disliking somebody, and you don't even know why. Or you disliking somebody because they got a gift and God is using them, so now you mad because God ain't using you, but he's not using you because you so mean and nasty and so jealous and uptight, won't fast, won't pray, won't read your word, won't study the word of God, won't allow the Holy Spirit in, and you wonder why he's not using you. Yeah, right. Who have bewitched you? Who have bewitched you, oh foolish Galatian? Oh, foolish Baptist, oh, foolish Apostolic Pentecostal UPC, whatever you are. Just like Pastor Felice said, we get mad. God gave you gifts too. If you stop looking at the other people, maybe you can go on and do what God told you to do. We ought to obey God rather than man. See, because at the end of the day, we're going to get judged in what we do, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Before Jesus came on the scene, prophets were preaching and warning God's people to repent. They've been warning God's people to repent from almost the beginning. Some people talking about, I repented, still doing the same thing they was doing. I repented, still doing the same thing they was doing. How is it that you repented and you still doing the same thing you was doing? Let me tell you something. I'm tired. Okay? I'm tired, but I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. I love the story about the prodigal son. I love the story about the prodigal son. And if we find ourselves as prodigal children to God, don't you know that he sees you afar off? He sees you afar off. Yeah, you out there squandering your money. You out there living it up and doing what you want to do. But he sees you afar off. He know you're going to come to your senses. At least he desires that you come to your senses. And then when you come to your senses and go back to the Father, he's waiting there with open arms. He's waiting there with open arms to accept you back. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to belittle you. He's not going to, you know, make you feel bad about yourself. He's not going to bring up, oh, well, you know, you went out there and you did X, Y, and Z. He's going to welcome you with loving arms. But you got to repent. You got to hate sin the way God hates sin. You got to look at sin as something that's going to cause you to go straight to hell. And if you wind up in hell, there is no reprieve. The governor cannot call at 11:59 and cancel your fate. You can't do it. If you're in hell, your next destination is the lake of fire. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to warn you. Come out of sin. The devil does not like you. Stop accepting what Satan is offering you. Whatever is from Satan is meant to kill you and to destroy you and to steal your place. Please hear the Spirit of God. Please hear the Spirit of the Most High God. Come out of sin. Stop playing with the devil. He is not your friend. He does not like you. God loves you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin, for my sin, for the sin of the world. Stop playing with the devil. If you live after the flesh, you will die. If you live according to your flesh, you will die. If you live according to your flesh, you will die. The Spirit of God is saying, look at His Word. Get an understanding of His Word. He is telling you what to kill. Mortify the deeds of the flesh so that you will not have to die. Mortify the deeds of your flesh by the Spirit so that you won't have to die. One is going to die. You are going to die, or the deeds of your flesh is going to die. You choose this day whom you will serve. And I'm talking to the believers. Those who say that you are a born-again believer, that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you're still fornicating, you're still committing adultery, you're still a homosexual, lesbian, bisexual, trisexual, let's all do the sexual thing, whatever it is that you're doing, you're a drunkard, you're causing division, you're teaching heresy, you're causing strife. Anything that you're doing that is a work of the flesh that you're doing, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. You cannot. You can't enter the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot. God's not going back on His word for you, me, or anybody else. Pastor Felicia said there's no atonement in hell. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You keep playing with fire, you'll get burned for eternity, Pastor Felicia. And that is so true. Let me tell you something. God is not a man that He should lie. If you go through the Old Testament and see what God did to His own chosen people because of their disobedience and their rebellion, you will see that God is the same God today. He changes not. Keep playing with God if you want to. Keep playing with God if you want to. He that confesses his sin and still clings to it is like a man that holds in his hand a defiled object. Though he bathe in all waters of the world, he is not cleansed. But the moment he casts that defiling object from him, a single bath will cleanse him. Get clean. Get right with God. Get right with God. Proverbs 6 says there's 6 things that God hates. Y'all want to keep playing with the devil? Read Proverbs 6. We're dealing with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. These things are set up for our demise. But as a believer, we have authority over the devil. We have authority over the prince of the power of the air. We have authority over principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness of this place, of this world. And we have authority over spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why he said, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And when you've done all to stand, stand therefore, having on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, your loins girded about with truth, and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Not, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. What? You prayed that when you was 5. Now you got to pray, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. My flesh, I speak to you right now in the name of Jesus, and I command you to conform to the word of God. But it can't conform to the word of God if there's no word of God in there for it to conform to. You cannot. Cynthia, we pray for you right now in the name of Jesus that you be saved and set free from the bonds of the devil in the name of Jesus. We pray, Cynthia, whatever your name is, your Cynthia, whatever your name is, we pray for you in the name of Jesus. And we command you to come out of darkness and come into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. We bind and rebuke the devil on every hand in the name of Jesus. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and we command you to flee. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Father, I pray for this person who is in the chat room right now by the name of S-C-I-E-N-T-I-A. And God, I ask you to heal her in the name of Jesus, or him or whoever it is, in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. See, one thing that I will say before I kick you out of the chat room, baby, is that you don't question God. If God said he made the world in 6 days, he made the world in 6 days. It's not up for us to judge what God has said. It's up for us to obey what God has said. Now, either you obey God or you don't obey God. That's it. You obey God or you don't. You don't have to believe that there's a God, but let me tell you something. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. If you don't bow now, you will bow later. And if you continue to let the devil use you, sweetie, you're going to be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, boo-boo. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it, but I pray for your soul. I pray that you get delivered in the name of Jesus, because you need Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank God that he is going to deliver you, honey. He's going to deliver you. But right now I got to say bye-bye. They're going to get saved. Keep coming in this chat room if you want. Now, I mean, look, let me tell you something. I am not, I'm not going to be moved. Pastor Felicia, my husband, Bishop Scott, 323-693-3054 is the number. I need y'all to call in because I'm tired. I'm trying to tell you, these people will be cracking me up. And Satan just sends them. Now, they haven't even been coming. But because the title is Stop Playing with the Devil, He Doesn't Like You, Satan wants to come in and try to distract. But you are rebuked in the name of Jesus. We have authority. We just said that we have authority over the name of Jesus. And for those of you that are listening, and if you're listening to this in an archive, I would advise you to please read Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. Read Proverbs 11, verse 29. Read Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 to 25. Read the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Please read Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 12. 1 Corinthians 6, 13 to 20. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 to 12. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 to 11, and verses 12 to 21 in 2 Corinthians 5, okay? Please read 2 Corinthians 4, 17. It says, for we must receive the things we did in our bodies, whether it be good or whether it be bad. John, the Gospel of John 10:10 says, the thief comes not before to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay? The thief is Satan, the devil. Okay? He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Husband, 323-693-3054, if you have something to say. Pastor Felicia, 323-693-3054. If you have something to say, please call that number. Press the 1 and I'll get you in on the air. Okay, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, verse 6, and Acts 3:15. And then you have the Prince of the Power of the Air, Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, and John 14:30. We need to understand which prince we serving. Which prince are we serving? Which prince are we dealing with? The Prince of Peace? Prince of Peace, the Prince of the Power of the Air. Choose you now this day whom you will serve. Choose you now this day who you will serve. Who will you serve? Are you going to keep playing with the devil? Or are you going to obey God and do his will? The devil doesn't like you. How many times do I have to say the devil doesn't like you? He hates you. Stop serving him. Is the devil your daddy? Who you serving? Satan wants you to go to hell. I tell people all the time, I know you a liar, and that's all you do is lie. You a liar, and the devil is your daddy. And why do I say that? Because Satan is the father of lies. If you're consistently in sin, consistently in sin, consistently in sin, consistently violating the word of God, you got to check yourself. You got to check yourself. Please check yourself. Go look in the mirror. Just stand in the mirror and say, you know what? I've just been lying all this time. I keep saying I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Every time the doors open, I'm there. I'm on the choir. I'm on the praise team. I'm on the Sunday school committee. I'm the Christian education leader. I'm the pastor. I'm the evangelist. I'm the deacon. I'm all of that. Yeah, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Every time they want something, they call me to do it. But when you get home behind closed doors, it's another you. It's another you. We need to be transformed like a butterfly. Transform means metamorpho. Metamorphosis, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not transformed. Be not conformed to this world. I'm sorry. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we become born again, we are not supposed to remain the same, but we have to do something. We have to take an active part in what we do. We cannot just think that God is going to do it for us by osmosis. There is something that we have to do. We have to. You cannot think God is just going to do all the work. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. But we won't even acknowledge the Holy Spirit as part of the Godhead. We'll say God and we'll say Jesus, but we forget about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. I need you, Holy Spirit. And if you say that, the Holy Spirit is not going to withhold himself from you. He's going to come and he's going to help you. He is our helper. He is our helper. And the Holy Spirit knows how to pray when we don't. Because we don't even know how to pray as we ought to, the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Area code 330. If you'd like to be on the line, please press that 1. We'll get you on. But there's so many people saying tomorrow. Let me just play a little bit of that song to you, because I'm telling you, this song, people keep saying tomorrow. I'm talking about born-again believers. I'll live right tomorrow, Lord. I'll stop lying tomorrow. I'll stop fornicating tomorrow. But tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Can you just listen to these words to the song, and we'll be right back on the air.
Jesus said, here I stand, won't you please let me in? And you said, I will. Your needs, and you said, I know, but tomorrow.
Did y'all hear that? And that's what a lot of us are telling God tomorrow. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll pray, you know, next week, or I'll stop tomorrow. You know, tomorrow. And we don't even know if we're going to wake up tomorrow. Everything is tomorrow. I'll sanctify myself tomorrow. I'll transform my mind tomorrow. Because what I'm doing right now is more satisfying. Talking about believers. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, that the body of Christ will fall on their knees and begin to repent all through the land. That we will begin to repent. That we will begin to cry out to God and ask God to please have mercy on us and forgive us. We take God's mercy for granted. We take him for granted. And God's mercy and his grace is not to be played with. And we think because the ground hasn't opened up and people have not just been dropping dead left and right, that you would think that the body of Christ would just begin to say, God, we have sinned, help us. But no, we continue in our sin. I mean, last year when the preachers were dying, you know, when that one famous preacher died, the young one, he died. And then people were speculating why he died. But he died in the hotel room just dead. He didn't have a chance to say, tomorrow I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. He didn't have that chance. Well, he did. Actually, he had the chance to say, to get it right before he died, because there was, you know, a day before that where he could have said, tomorrow, tomorrow. He probably was saying tomorrow, tomorrow, and then there was no more tomorrow. Just like today is yesterday's tomorrow. Today is yesterday's tomorrow. And if somebody yesterday that said, okay, I'm going to do it tomorrow, meaning today, but they didn't wake up. Or they died somewhere during the day. Let me tell you something. God is not playing with the body of Christ. God is not playing with the people who are saying they belong to Jesus Christ, who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We better repent. We better turn back to God and stop denying him. We better stop giving place to our flesh. We better stop giving place to the devil. We better stop yielding to sin and to temptation. We better get it right with God. We better better ask God to examine ourselves. We better cry out to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to mortify the deeds of the flesh, because they that are in the flesh cannot please God, and they that live according to the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. Please. I beg you. I beseech you, like Paul said, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. If that means you got to stop looking at that television show, stop it. If it means that you got to stop listening to that certain song, stop listening to it. If it means you got to cut loose some friends, cut loose some friends. If it means you got to cut loose some family members, cut loose some family members. Not because you don't love them, but because you love God more. If we put anything or anybody else before God, we're not worthy to be called his child. We're not worthy to be called his servant. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall it profit a man if he will gain the whole world and lose his soul? What should it profit you if you gain the world and lose your soul? What should it profit you if you become this big-time minister and you got thousands following you and people are lauding you and applauding you, but you lose your soul? There's a scripture that says the little that a righteous man hath is better. I got to find that. The little that a righteous man has is better. And let me find it. A little that a righteous man has. See? We're going to get that scripture. Because you can have little and be righteous. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Psalm 37:16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. See, when you have the word of God in your heart, the Holy Spirit can pull it back up, but if there's nothing in there, he can't pull it out. Better is the little that the righteous have than the abundance of many wicked. So all of this stuff that the wicked is gaining for him or herself, all of this stuff that's going to perish one day, all of this stuff that you're going to leave behind when you die, these things that we seek after, we should be going after God as hard as we're going after these things. We should be going after God as hard as we do, oh, I got to get home because I got to see this program. I ain't going to church tonight because I got to see my show. I'm not going to pray because I got to do this. I'm not going to pray because I got to do that. The things that we seek after ought to be holiness and righteousness. God's remnant said, don't be envious of the wicked. And welcome, God's remnant. And I wanted to say something to Refuge 1827, but they left, and I'm sorry. Don't be envious of what the wicked have, because they have their reward. Well, I want to be like the Joneses. I want to be like the Smiths. Why? Rich people going to hell. Why? Because they're chasing after things rather than chasing after God. The Bible tells us, don't study to be rich. Don't seek to be rich, because then when you get rich, you forget about him. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to tell y'all something. We do need money to do things, and we want money to do things. Okay? We want things. And certain things we need. But these things are not supposed to be our God. They're not supposed to take the place of God. It's not supposed to take the place of God. The love of money, the love of money is the root to all evil. Okay? There's been money, there's been, you know, cattle and all things. People had to bargain and do whatever, and it's been money and, you know, whatever all through time. There's been some form of currency, or, you know, you would trade your animals. So there's been always been a need for us to have money or have things to get things. But anything that comes before God, we have stepped into idolatry. It has become our idol. We have begun to worship that thing more than God. Don't let anything come before God. I like that song, Tomorrow. Can we think about God today? Can we totally submit to Him and give our lives to Him today? No matter what that means. No matter what that means. Can we do that today? Can we do that while we still have breath in our bodies? Can we just give it up for God? Because God gave it up for us. He gave up His only begotten Son for us. If you are listening to this broadcast and you are born again, but you have backslidden, you have taken your hands off the plow when you said, you know, I just want to do me for a while, I beg you, I implore you to come back to God. Because this world has nothing to offer you that's going to lead to anything but death. If you have become complacent, lukewarm, if you are being disobedient and rebellious, if you're mad at God, or you're mad at the pastor, you're mad at the TV evangelist, you're mad at life, I ask you now to give your heart to God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never been born again, because you just don't believe it, and like the person in the chat room said, God's not real, and you know all this other stuff they were saying. If you don't believe God is real, I ask you to get a Bible and pick it up and read it and begin to pray. I ask you just to begin to pray. I ask you to even be bold enough to say, God, if you are real, show me in a way that only I know. God, if you are real, I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me because if you're real, I desire you. I've heard that woman. I've heard some man. I've heard other people talk about you, and I've heard them talk about Jesus, but I don't really know if you're real. But if you are, I want you to show me that I will know beyond a shadow of a doubt so that I can give my life to you through faith in Jesus Christ. If this Jesus is real, I want to know, and I ask you to show me. Don't you know He'll show you? And then if you're the person that, you know Jesus is real, you just don't want to give your life to Him because you want to keep doing what you want to do. Because you're saying, oh, I have time. Don't bank on that I have time thing. I live in Philadelphia, and I tell you, people are sitting out on their steps, and little girls 2 years old are getting shot and killed by stray bullets. Other people are sitting on their porches, in their cars, walking down the street, at a block party, whatever, getting killed. But they think they got the rest of their lives to live. Will you please give your life to the Lord God today? Will you please believe in Jesus Christ? The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The world through Jesus might be saved. The Bible also tells us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe in the Lord. Don't believe me. Get the Word of God and read the Word of God for yourself. Don't believe me. Believe the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I offer you the Word of God. Romans 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, everyone who believes in him, talking about Jesus, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him, that call on him out of a pure heart. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? I'm preaching to you now. I'm teaching you now. I'm speaking the name of Jesus, and I'm offering Jesus to you now. If you don't believe me, get the Word of God, pick it up, read it, and believe it for yourself. And ask God to save you, and he will. He will not withhold any good thing from you. It's not his will. It is not the will of God that you perish, but that you come to repentance. And I pray for you right now, unbeliever, that you will come to God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ, that you will believe that Jesus was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you are healed. You are healed from your iniquities and transgressions. You are healed from sin. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. If you will accept the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, you are born again. You are saved. For Jesus did die for you and me. He died, and on the third day he rose again. And then he ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for the saints. And then he gave us his Holy Spirit. If you read the book of Acts, he said he gave us his Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He has given us his Holy Spirit to help us, to pray for us, to teach us to pray, to comfort us, to help our infirmities, to strengthen us, to help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh. I invite you to accept Jesus into your heart tonight. If you're backslidden, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you right now. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on tonight. This is Evangelist Teresa Scott, and this is Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, An Evening with Jesus in the Word, God's Remnant, guest 5798, Pastor Felicia and Him Ministry, my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott. I love you. I thank you all so much for joining us. Caller on the line, area code 330. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Friday night, and we'll be on at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And we will have a guest speaker on Friday night. She is an author, and she was on Jesus in the Morning. And Dr. Evelyn, I can't say her last name right now, but she will be on our broadcast on Friday. So if you can join us, please do so. I'd like to say God bless you, God keep you, until we all meet again. Stay prayerful. Pray for the sinners. Pray for those that came in the chat room to disrupt, that their souls will be saved. Pray for your loved ones to be saved. And please pray, my strength in the Lord. God bless you and good night.